All right, we're continuing our summer sermon series, How to Be Happy According to Jesus. Now, I think about that old hymn, How to Be Happy in Jesus. And a lot of people think a lot of things make them happy. How many of you guys think blowing up fireworks on 4th of July makes you happy? I do. I like blowing things up. I just do. There's something about, there's something there and there's nothing there. It's a powerful thing. I don't know why. But there's a lot of things that make individuals happy and, you know, and those sort of things. But this summer we're looking at how can we be happy in Jesus, because that's a lasting happiness. That's a happiness that's productive for the Lord, for ourselves, and for others. And so our focus passage is the 5th chapter of Matthew, the first 12 verses. And let's read that together just to refresh our memory, shall we? Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So our first week, we took a little slice of humble pie. We didn't listen to the band, but we took a little slice of humble pie, and we realized humble pie is hard to eat, but it's a very, very productive pie to eat. And then this week, our focus passage, if you follow along, you'll know Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. You're blessed when you feel that you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. Today's sermon title is this: Happy Are the Hurting. Now, let's do this. If you feel comfortable, reach over and take someone's hand and look them in the eye and go, "This may get a little rough, but we're going to make it. This may get a little rough, but we're going to make it." I mean, what kind of moron tells you that there is happiness in hurting? You're looking at him. The Bible is a book of paradoxes. Now, let's refresh what a paradox is. Paradox is a statement or proposition that seems self-contradictory or absurd, but in reality expresses a possible truth. The Bible is full of paradoxes. It says this: we receive what? When we're giving. Well, that doesn't make sense. We receive when we're giving. We live what? By dying. Well, that's nonsensical. We find by losing, and we can find true blessings by mourning. Well, Jimmy, that might be one of the silliest things I've heard you say. The Bible is not easy, but it is true. We see the word wept used 63 times in the Bible, and the word mourned is used another 21 times. These are words we don't like to hear. These are words we don't like to express or experience. Can I ask this question? How did we get to the point where tears are a sign of weakness, or they display a lack of faith in God? Now, ladies, I've never spent a day as a lady only dressed up as one. But as a dude, let me tell you how this works for most of us dudes. Dudes, am I telling the truth? Hey, suck it up. Real men don't cry. Rub some dirt on it. There's something in our culture, there has been and there still is, that if we're not careful, we look at tears for something that they're not. And I think if we're not careful, even in the church, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll look at the mourningness and the tears of people And if we're not careful, we'll go, well, don't they just have faith in God? Well, yeah. Yeah. My mother passed away and went to be with the Lord nearly 4 years ago here in a couple weeks. And I want you to know there were plenty of tears and I got plenty of faith. Tears are not the absence of faith. And let me just say this, faith doesn't always mean there's an absence of tears. It's okay. We see in the Word of God, King Solomon wrote this in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. So there's a time for everything, isn't there? Yeah. One day there will be a time for the Cowboys to win again. But there's a time for everything. But here's the thing is we don't always like every time. I'm telling you, on more than one occasion in my life, I've whispered to the heart of God, God, I don't want this. Now, it wasn't like I was telling God something he didn't know. But it was the time, but it wasn't the time I wanted. Sometimes what I want and what God's timing is aren't the same thing, and that's a whole different series. The Word never tells us to pretend that we don't hurt or to pretend sorrow isn't real. Now, I'm not going to ask you to testify to this, but have you ever showed up at God's house and you just slipped that happy mask right up? How you doing? I'm good. I'm so good, blessed. Oh. You know, we can do that, can't we? We could fake it till we make it. The Word never tells us to do that. You can't make the truth disappear merely by wishing it so. Can I just say that one more time? You can't make truth disappear merely by wishing it so. Proverbs 56 tells us this. You have kept count of my tossings. It means my struggles, my trials, my tribulations. You have kept account of them. Put my tears in a bottle. Are they not in your book? You're like, what are you talking about? And let's please remember, anytime you see that YouVersion icon, that means I've given you a link in your notes. You can go dig deeper. The idea behind tears in a bottle, unlike the great song of the 80s, Message in a Bottle, but tears in a bottle, thank you. Easy. Let me just take it. Let me let you just ponder on that greatness right there. Hold on. That's right. No other pastor has the courage to quote that song in his pulpit this morning. David is expressing his deep trust that God will remember his sorrow and his tears and will not forget about him. David is confident. Listen, I'm telling you because you need to hear it from me. There have been times in my life I thought the Lord had taken the side door. Now that's my stinking thinking. That's my heart being dishonest to me. Why? Because God never takes the side door. People may take the side door, but God never takes the side door. David, if you read David's life, I'm going to tell you what, this was a hero and a zero cat right here. I mean, he could be on the top of the mountain and then hit every rock as he rolls down the backside of it. This guy, he was awesome, and then he was stinko. And he had some... I love David because... Partly because he didn't give up on God, and even more so because God didn't give up on him, right? I mean, you know, I never got to be king yet, but, and so here's David in the midst of this trial and tribulation and loss and uncertainty and failure and all of these things, and he says, God, do you remember? God, do you care? Are you in tune with where I'm at? Are you with me? And I love what he says here in the 56th Psalm, the 9th verse. This I know, what? God's for me. God is for me. Now, just because God's for me doesn't mean it's always going to go the way I want it to go. But God is always for me. Parents, you remember when your kids were just terrible at whatever sport they were playing? You would roll it out there earlier in the heat of the afternoon. Oh, come on, Johnny. Sorry, Johnny. I didn't mean it. It's just the name that came to me. Oh, you're so good. God, you're so terrible. Oh, you're so good. doing it all the while you're playing, please, Lord, don't let them want to play next year. Hey, listen, we're there for him. But listen, God is always for us, even when we don't feel like it. God is always for us, even if we don't want him to be for us. The atheist says, there is no God. Don't want him, don't need him. God's for him. The agnostic says, well, there's something, but there's not God. God's for her. My friends, in the midst of this life and all that it entails us, God is for us. Never forget that. So the question is on the table. The question on the table today is this: is can happiness be discovered through hurting? You're saying no. I'm saying I think you can. Can happiness be discovered through hurting? Look to your neighbor and go, it's about to get real, but it's going to be okay. Happiness is discovered when we sacrifice the present for the future. James tells us this: blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Disciples who accept the crosses of this life will ultimately be able to wear the crown of life. You don't get the crown without the cross. That's not the way it works. It doesn't work in this world, and it doesn't work in the world to come. Sometimes we have to say no to good so that we can say yes to the best. Amen? Amen. Amen, Jimmy, you're killing it. You remember what I told you? Holidays tomorrow. Now, as I was preparing this message, I was thinking about our son. And there he is at his desk. Now, he's not drinking coffee because he's got a wager, and he's not going to lose that wager. If you would, please, pray for our son. He takes his state boards on Thursday. Now, our son was told the way that you make this happen is you divide your day into 3 8-hour segments. You study 8, you sleep 8, and then you do whatever else with the 8. And our son has been giving 8 hours a day for over 2 months. In preparation for this test. Now, can I tell you who couldn't do that? This guy. He is faithful and diligent. And you know what? Sometimes to say yes to the best, you have to be willing to say no to the good. Sometimes you have to be willing to say no to that vocation. That may not be where you need to be. If you're an alcoholic and a bartender gig comes open, no! Or a relationship. Listen, not every relationship is gold. Or recreation, not everything is profitable. We must have God's wisdom in discerning. We must have God's help in being disciplined. And we must have God's eternal vision for delayed gratification. Listen, to get the best, sometimes you have to say no to the good. Sometimes you have to say, not now, but later. Happiness is discovered when we sympathize with those around us who are suffering. Jeff, have you been in my computer? He said this very thing this morning during our Sunday school class. And let me just say, if you haven't plugged into Sunday school yet, you need to get plugged in. Matthew 9 says this: seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and were dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. You know, when I think about this, I can't help but think of our world. We got a lot of sheep going a lot of different ways. And it's so important to have a shepherd. You know, that passage that we love so much, that a good shepherd will leave the 99 to find the one. It's a good because I was one. But let me tell you this, it's good to be a part of the 99. It's good to have a shepherd. It's good to have someone that you can follow. It's good to have someone who would lay down their life for you. My friends, our world is distressed and dispirited. Why? Because they don't have a shepherd. Now, they got people with big sticks. But there's a difference. Any monkey can carry a stick, but only a shepherd knows how to carry a shepherd's crook. what happiness shouldn't be. Let's say the word shouldn't. Shouldn't. I didn't hear you. You say it. Thank you. What happiness shouldn't be is making light of people's lostness. Brothers and sisters, you should not take pleasure in the lostness of our world. It's a terrible thing to be lost, and if you don't remember what it was like to be lost, get on your knees and beg God to remind you. It's a terrible thing to be lost. It's a terrible thing not to have any clue of what your true value was, and it's based on this and that and those and them, and every day it changes. The target's never where you can hit it, even if there is a target. Sometimes I think we, the church, make very light of the lostness of people. Why? Because we've got ours. And if we're not careful, we think we're better than them. My friends, we're not better than anybody. Not one single person. You think of the worst person you've ever known, and you're not better than them. And we cannot make light of the lostness. We should sympathize with those who are seeking only what Christ can afford them. Our world is thirsty unto death, and there's only one living water. And praise God, you and I have it. I watch on a regular basis, my heart grieves as the world wanders in darkness for water that they cannot find. How do I know that? Because that was me. That was me. Listen, that was a long time ago, but it was like yesterday to me. And I beg God not to let me forget what it was like. We should try to help guide those who have never been shown the way. We live in a country today, ladies and gentlemen, where far too many have never been taught John 3:16. We have people in our country today who's never even heard John 3:16. We have people in our nation today who have never stepped foot in a house of worship. There used to be a day all the funerals were held at what? The church. But today, some of the most beautiful buildings in town, what? Are the funeral homes. So they don't have to come into a house of worship. I was talking to someone last week. They go, now what church you go to? I said, Authentic Life, over there by the bowling alley. The one that looks like a 10. They go, man, that's a weird looking building. I said, I know, right? I said, and their pastor's weird too. And they go, well, I mean, do you like him? I said, I hope so. It's me. I said, I know it's kind of funky on the outside because it's supposed to look like, I said, you ought to come inside and see. Because I'm going to tell you, if you come inside the building, the outside doesn't do the inside justice. Amen? Amen. And if you'll stay around a little while, you'll find out the real beauty in this building is sitting in the pews this morning. Who's going to show them the way if we're not doing it? They didn't have parents that took them to church, even if you didn't like it. I thank God today for my parents. They didn't have grandmas and grandpas like my little Appalachian Pentecostal grandma who stood around that potbelly stove and sang, I'll fly away. I remember preaching her funeral and I said, today's, ladies and gentlemen, she has flown away. You see, we may have had that or you may not have, but thank God someone tried to show you the way. And we should be more about showing and less about making light of. Luke 19 says this. When he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, if you had known in this day, even you, Jerusalem, my people, my chosen people, even if you had known the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. As I stood atop the Mount of Olives and I looked over at the ancient city, I thought of this passage. Jesus wept over his people. Because if anyone should know, it should be them. I weep over our community when I see violence. I weep over our nation. Happiness shouldn't be thinking that one day the world's going to get what it deserves. Because without Jesus, that's what you'd get to. Church, this isn't the day. But they'll get theirs Well, without Jesus, I'd get mine too. Rejoicing in the misery of humanity's choices and subsequent outcomes. Church, we can't rejoice in that. No more than your Heavenly Father doesn't rejoice in your shortcomings. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we think God's up there with a big old whack-a-mole mallet. Ronnie, just give me a reason. Jimmy, just give me a reason, and I do. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not rejoice in the misery of humanity. I want the world to know what I've enjoyed. And we cannot be indifferent about humanity's suffering and the consequences of sin. Ladies and gentlemen, we simply cannot sit idly by and go, well, they'll figure it out. That's not why God saved us. That's not why God commissioned the church. That's not why God has left us here. We've got a job to do. To live and to love in such a way that people go, what is up with you? And you go, well, you know, if there's any good thing in me, his name's Jesus, I'd love to tell you about him. I want to stop here and just lead us in a word of prayer. Our nation, in my humble opinion, in my lifetime, has never been more divided than it is right now. Now, divide, you know, I'm not talking about disagreeing. We disagree. The truth is that's what makes America great, in part, is we can disagree and we don't get shot for it. I was having a conversation this last week, and there was an individual, and they're not really happy about America right now and all that. And I said, okay, cool. I said, it may not be our finest hour. I said, but you know what? I remember when I went to China, to Tiananmen Square, and stood right there where they shot those protesters. I said, I stood right there. And I said, you listen to me. When you think this isn't a good nation, listen, you can stand up and you can say whatever you want. You can do pretty much what you want. In China, they'll just kill you. So be careful what you wish for. Ladies and gentlemen, I am unashamedly proud to be an American. I am unashamedly optimistic. Why? Because until God says no more, there's always a chance. And if we, the church, give up hope, then our nation is truly hopeless. Now, you and I both know what our nation needs and what our world needs only comes through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We know that. No government's not going to do it. No, United Nations isn't going to do it. My friends, God can only do what God is going to do. But God has called us to be a part of the solution, not part of the problem. Let me just pray, shall I? Father, I thank you for today, and Lord, I thank you for my nation. God, we are not perfect, and God, we have sinned. But Father, I thank you that in your sovereignty and your mercy, you allowed me to be born in this nation. And Lord, I confess that the freedoms that are afforded me sometimes are taken for granted. Lord, that I can sit here and speak my heart and proclaim your word without fear of retribution. Lord, what a blessing. Lord, that we can pursue our faith in peace and in freedom. And Lord, those who choose not to pursue faith, Lord, they can do that too. God, our nation is in desperate need of you. And as we sung earlier, Lord, I pray that you would convict our hearts, beginning with me, to be a kingdom builder. Your kingdom, right here, right now. God, that I will live for the society that I want to see. Lord, that I'll do what I can do to be what I want to see. And God, I pray that you would break my heart for the things that breaks yours. Father, I believe the adversary's greatest tool today is divisiveness. Because all he has to do is plant the seed and we water it. Oh, we water it so well. Father, I guess I'm confessing our need of you, our utter dependence upon you. And Father, I'm asking that you would help the church be the church. That our hearts would break for those that break your heart. Father, please be glorified and redeem our nation. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews 4 says this, For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things. Let's say all. All things. Well, he didn't have Facebook. In all things as we were, yet knew no sin. Our Savior knows. What does he know? Well, he knows what it's like to be tempted in all ways. He knows the pains of this life. Jesus knows. Everything you and I experience, Jesus knows. Our Savior has witnessed firsthand the misery sin eventually brings upon his creation until the day of redemption finally arrives. He knows. As a parent, doesn't it pain our hearts when our children make a choice that is less than ideal and far from productive? Can you imagine the heart of a holy God? And his creation moans under the yoke of the misery of sin. And he thinks, this wasn't what I wanted for you. Jesus knows. We know Christ's forgiveness, love, and guidance. Amen? No one on this side knows it. We know it. Amen? You are forgiven. As if you never sinned. God loves you. How much? 100 all the time. Even when you don't love you. Even when other people choose not to love you. God loves you. He always has. He always will. And the only thing that prevents you from knowing that is you. Our world doesn't know what it's like to be loved the way God loves. In the world, it's conditional. I will love you if. We know that this world is not our home. One day heaven. And we know that all that Christ offers is ours to share, that anyone who believes can be saved. Do you believe that? Do you believe in the fiber of your being that anyone and everyone can be born again? Do you believe that? Do you? Come on, people. Do you believe it? I don't think we do because we don't live that way. Listen, there were people who didn't believe Jimmy Vaughn could get saved. I got a witness, don't I? I got asked to speak at a church one time who was pastored by my former next-door neighbor. Now, let me just tell you this. I was the devil in shorts when I was a teenager. Let me just tell you, and me and my next-door neighbors, we had issues. Issues that cost them money. Issues that got police called. We had issues. And then one day, Jesus. And they invite the devil in shorts to come and speak at church. Ronnie, he spent 20 minutes telling them how big a devil I was. Yeah. You didn't think the devil, And you know what? Everything he said was true. Every word of his testimony was true. But Jesus, listen, our world can be saved. We've got to believe it. And let me say this. We've got to want it. If there's anyone you've ever looked at and you thought, man, I hope they aren't in heaven, sin on you. Every person, whether you believe them, whether you agree with them, whatever it is, if you think I wouldn't spit on them if they're on fire, listen, they can be saved. They need to be saved, and you should want them to be saved. I'm up to here with Christians who think that someone doesn't deserve Jesus. You know why? Because we don't deserve him either. I've about had it with Christians who teach the world that they don't want none of this. Why? Because it's not any different inside the building than it is outside the building. I've just had it. And church, we need to be different. We can't change everybody, but I'm going to tell you what, the little ALF, we could be a little ALF. And let me just say this so you don't think I'm just, you know, like thumping you between the eyes. I think you're one of the most gracious, loving, and acceptable group of people I've ever known in my life. And I mean that. I really do. I believe any person at any time can come into this place, and if they'll spend the time, can find a home here. And I'm proud to be a part of a fellowship like that. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says this, praise to God of all comfort. Praise be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of what? Let's say that word. Comfort. You want to be like Jesus? Comfort the hurting. Who comforts us, who? Us, in our times of trouble. Wait a minute. Well, then what are we supposed to do with that? Well, looky, looky. So that we may comfort those in any trouble with whose comfort? The comfort we ourselves receive from God. Oh, God comforts us. Amen. I'm going to tell you what. I was looking at Jesus last Saturday when I was heaving up everything that I could find. But the same comfort that we enjoy, God expects us to share. Well, they don't appreciate it like I do. Easy now. God didn't comfort you just because you were so appreciative. We got to be careful, folks. Oh, my. I never used that button before. Grief is a price for love, but it's worth it 1,000 times over, amen? Listen, if you're going to love, it's going to hurt. Sometimes it's going to hurt a little bit. Sometimes it's going to hurt a whole lot. But it's worth it every time. So we got to get some free stuff in here real quick, Ronnie. Got to bring the room back up. Come on. I told you it's going to get rough, but we're going to survive it. How can I help the hurting? Well, there's two words that I want to differentiate so we understand what we're doing. First, there's sympathy. Sympathy is an agreement in feelings or emotion between people on a part of one person towards another, especially as based in similar tastes, shared, and understanding. Sympathy is not a shared experience, but a heartfelt feeling of remorse and kindred spiritness, okay? Now, empathy, on the other hand, is when you can have a shared experience. Let me give you the most basic illustration I can very quickly in the interest of time. Men, if you ever look at your bride and go, hey, I really know what it's like to go through childbirth. No, you can't empathize that, chief. Now, you can sympathize with it, but until you've walked a mile in those ladies' shoes, uh-uh. And I don't care if they strap some big old belly on you or whatever. No. So there's a significant difference, okay? Now, it's very important. I want you to hold on to this word empathy. I want you to hold on to it. because I'm going to close that loop in here in just a minute, okay? Let's look real quick. Be a gentle presence. Listen, in the midst of people who are in trial, tribulation, and sorrow, man, just be cool. Just be cool. Be easy. You know, just be a gentle presence. Second, practice silence over solutions. Listen, don't try to fix everything. Now, I'm preaching to me. Sometimes silence is the best thing that we can give. Amen? Now, it's awkward as it can be, isn't it? You're like, man, I should say something, right? Not every moment of every crisis needs a solution offered. And I'm telling you, this is so much about me. Allow room for the expression of emotions. Listen, let people just be real. Man, I just don't know if God loves me anymore. That is not the time to go into a 6-part Bible study on God's love for you. Let people have room to express where they're at, okay? It's okay. You know, one of the reasons pastors have a hard time expressing themselves sometimes in front of their congregants is because sometimes some of the congregants go, are you sure you're even saved? Are you sure you're even called to the ministry? Do you know why ministers hang around ministers? Because only ministers know what it's like to what? Be a minister. And even when we all get in the same flock, people are like, no, I'm good. I'm good. Such liars. Empathize, if possible, with their experience. Remember, empathy means that you've had a shared experience you can recall upon. See, hear, and love. Three powerful phrases help us feel seen, heard, and loved. I see your pain. I see your challenge. I hear you. And I don't know what to say, but I'm here for you. Sometimes the best thing you can say is not one word, and that is hard for me. Offer specific ways of helping. Let me know what I can do to help. And let me give it a little addendum here, okay? If you're hurting and you have things that need help with, let us help. How about that? If your lawn's hip high and you can't get to it, let a brother mow that lawn. There is nothing courageous about not letting people serve you. Can I tell you this? It ministers to me when you allow me to serve. It is my greatest joy to meet a need. So if you're the one hurting and you hear someone say, hey, how can I help you? Let us help. A wise man once told me about 4 years ago, you got to let the church love you. Because you see, as your pastor, I don't want to put my stuff on your stuff because you got your stuff. Oh, but I want all up in your stuff. But as your pastor, I need to model what I would hope that you would do. Let's go on before I cry. And it's very manly, like I said earlier. Pray specifically. When you pray, just you pray, man, right there. Tactical. Plan to check in and do it. And okay. Leave room for the Holy Spirit. Hey, listen, you're not him. Leave room for the Holy Spirit to do his work. And remember who this is about. Ultimately, when someone is hurting, this is about them. It's not about us feeling good about that we're actually doing something. Okay? It's about them. It's all about them. It's not about us, you know. So happiness in discovering when we're sorrow in our sins. I gotta hurry up. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says this: godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings about death. Listen, when I am sorrowful for my sins, then I can find happiness. Why? Because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. You see, when I take a fair inventory of my sin, it takes me to the cross. And I'm reminded that Jesus chose me. You win by trying and failing. Test, try, fail, measure, evolve, repeat, persist. Man, if that's not a great description of the Christian life, I don't know what is. Brothers and sisters, don't quit. Press on. Keep going. Are you going to fail? Yeah, probably. If not, you're better than me, and maybe you should be pastor. Measure. Evolve. Persist. Oh, man, too many believers hang it up. We can't quit. And I love the evolution of understanding. So this painting is the stoning of St. Stephen by Rembrandt. Now, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but he painted this when he was 19. What a show off. Also, if you have kids that are, you know, like showing artistic things, push that. But Saul, in Philippians 3, called himself this, the Hebrew of Hebrews. That's his way of saying in modern language, oh, I'm all that, baby, and a bag of chips. This is a man who held the coats while they murdered the first deacon of the church and was on the road to take captive and probably murder more Christians when God says, I got to talk to you. And this same man in 1 Timothy says this, this saying is a trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the worst of them. Now, I'm not going to fight with Paul, but I'm a pretty good chief myself. Happiness is discovered when we suffer losses. I love this. This is a Middle Eastern proverb. Maybe you should take this with you. The Nepalis may really like this. All sunshine makes a desert. Get it? Sorrow is the source of some of our greatest discoveries. The meaning and the value of friendship and love are brought into a sharp focus in seasons of loss. I love what Robert Hamilton had to say. He said, I walked a mile with pleasure and she chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow and ne'er a word she said, but oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. Very quickly, to discover happiness, one, in the midst of your struggle, don't repress grief, express it. It's a poison. Listen, find ways to let that stuff out of you. It's toxic. You remember I talked about the sheep a little while ago? There's something about, oh, never mind, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let that stuff out. To find happiness in the midst of struggle, don't replace your loss. You can't replace that loss with people, places, and things. Just face it. Own it and ask God to help you through it. My mother wrecked her life because of this right here. And it ultimately took her life because of this right here. Don't retreat from others. Amen? I don't know what it is. And your pastor's the same way. That when sorrow comes, we just kind of lean out. Remember I told you, I don't want you to have to deal with my stuff, but I want all up in your stuff. I love this quote. Grieving is like having a broken rib. On the outside, you look fine, but with every breath, it hurts. That's the truth. As a guy who's had one, no, you can't see it, but every breath is murderous. Don't retreat. Find that person. Find those persons. Let that out. Come into the 99 and let us carry you as long as necessary. Why? We're in it together. There is no shame in being sorrowful. We already said it's biblical. But too many people in too many churches throw that mask up. Don't depend on the calendar. I love this. Well, when are things going to get better? I don't know. I love this. John 14 says this, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Just keep walking. Just keep walking. Our nation, we just have to keep walking. Don't buy this, you know, this thing, man. Everybody wants to calendar up stuff. Listen, some things just don't fit on calendars. It's okay. You remember what the scripture said? What? There's a season for everything. I came across this on Facebook, so Ronnie, I know it's new to you. One day you will tell the story of how you've overcome what you're going through now. And it will become a part of someone else's survival guide. This last week we had someone on campus and they were doing some service work on campus. And when it was done, they came to my study and they needed me to sign the work order. And he stopped and he goes, I know you. If I'm being truly transparent, I think to myself, okay. I mean, I've been around forever, you know, whatever. I'm just being transparent. Long, I mean, some say too long, Jared. I said, oh, okay. And he goes, yeah. He says, 7 years ago, I had to go to a meeting. I go, oh. I said, okay. I said, was it a victim's impact panel? And he goes, yeah. I said, okay. I said, do you remember the promise I made you 7 years ago that I would never initiate a conversation out of respect for your privacy, but if you initiated the conversation, it would be my joy? He goes, I do. I said, how are you doing, man? He said, well, that entire event was the turning point in my life. He says, I've been clean and sober for 7 years. He says, I'm married and I have kids. And he's obviously working. He said, I remember your story. He said, I remember your story. I simply don't have words to tell you how that sat on me. That a man in the midst of the storm that he was in 7 years ago, God allowed me to tell my story. And it has now become a part of his survival guide. One of the reasons we can take joy and happiness in our trials and tribulations is this, is that it uniquely equips you to be a minister. Because it's one thing to have sympathy and it's good. My brothers and sisters, it changes the world when you can say, I've walked a mile in your shoes and I'm still walking. Brothers and sisters, you have a chance to touch the world. How do I know? 7 years ago, I was with that man 1 hour and I've not seen him since. Well, not that I know of. And God blessed me by bringing him here. You see, he didn't need that encouragement. I think I did. Because I'm going to tell you what, man, that's... Happiness can be found in the midst of struggle. Why? Because Jesus is in it. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this day, and Lord, I thank you for this message. Lord, it's not easy to hear. Lord, none of us, oh God, myself being first and foremost, want the trials, tribulations, and struggles of this world. Lord, quite honestly, heaven, amen, right now. But Lord, until then, you've called me to something. And Father, I ask that you would help me to be faithful to that. Lord, I so much want this world to experience what I have had the privilege of experiencing. Lord, I so much want our world to say, one day heaven. And that phrase changed everything. Father, I pray for our fellowship. Lord, that you would continue to keep our hearts pliable and compassionate towards our world and towards our community. Lord, as it radiates from Greenville to the uttermost parts. Father, I pray that you would help us to live what we hope to see. Lord, break our hearts for the things that breaks yours. Lord, let us see every person we encounter, regardless of the attitudes or actions. Lord, let us see them as you see them. An eternal, one-of-a-kind, precious commodity. And Lord, let us love them like you love them. Like you love us. Father, help us to be an instrument of change in a world, Lord, that is truly lost. Father, help us to look to you in our darkest hour and help us to trust you, Lord, to bring light and value to it. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for the privilege of prayer. We thank you for the presence and the power and the promises of your Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you, one day heaven. Until then, may we be found faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.